TalkRadio.com.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is Matt Hardy.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
And you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect.
And damn proud of it.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I can increase my work rate. I can add to the five moves of doom. Or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What hurts most are my feelings. You cussed at me. You verbally abused me. Whatever shall I do?
And the indie scene.
I'm Al Dope.
I'm Roddy Piper. This is Awesome Kong.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Spud.
Asshole.
Yes, I am.
Mace.
You don't know me, and you don't know what I'm capable of.
And the Omega.
You'll do my bidding, or taste my wrath.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game and how you play it. All about control if you can take it. All about your stand if you can play it. It's all about pain and who's gonna make it.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of this merry little band of troops. And today, Spug is off wrestling, so it is just me. It is Mace.
Greetings, Mr. Who Gets Leonard Nimoy in the introduction now.
Yeah, Leonard Nimoy is introing me. Suck on that. And, of course, we also have Mr. Tim Stein.
Yeah, I'm mute. That's right. My thing wasn't working and it wasn't called up. Yeah, Leonard, you pissed me off. You're not a Star Trek fan, you geek. What the hell? Seriously, what the bloody hell?
Motherfucker, it doesn't matter if it's Star Trek. You got to remember, that's a Transformers reference. It just happens to be done by Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, I know Transformers. It was just, you know, like, whatever. Anyway, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Rust Talk Radio WTR, Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'd like to say hello and give a shout-out to a couple of people who are, I'm pretty sure they're tuned in for the first time, you know, to an independent professional wrestler calls himself Logan Cross. He's got, like, vampire fangs and shit like that. Logan, drop the Twilight gimmick. Seriously, man. Anyway, he's tuned in with a referee. I don't know what the referee's name. Well, I know what his name is, but I don't know if that's the name that he uses as a ref. But these guys work TCW Wrestling, and I heard a rumor that they're also going to be working for that new promotion starting up in Calgary, Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. Anyway, I guess we can dive into that a little bit later on. How has your week been, everybody?
Week's been fun here.
Have you had a weak week, or have you had a strong week?
I'd call it a strong week.
Cool. How about you, Mace?
Well, I didn't get drunk and go crashing in the trees, if that's what you're inclining.
Well, that's a good thing, because you don't get suspended or fired or, you know, future endeavored if you're allowed to say stuff like that when you don't crash into trees while you're driving under the influence.
Well, nobody really gets fired or suspended from this network, so.
Well, they get fired, but like it holds, right? Please.
We've all been fired for about 2 seconds.
Yeah, there you go. That's all that really matters, right?
Well, I think at some point we need to have like a vote of no confidence just so Tim can join in on the firing gimmick.
Well, hang on just a quick sec. Mace, I haven't told you you're fired yet, have I? I've hit Spug at least twice a week. Omega has gotten it twice for a while.
Twice total, I believe.
Yeah. Have I ever fired Mace?
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've been fired at least several times.
Okay.
But you know, they don't stick. They don't mean anything, no matter how much drama we cause.
Yeah, but that tells you who the hot commodity is.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. You know what I'm going to do? Every single person in the chat room, okay, you are now all employees of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, God. We've gone to
the way, by the way, you are fired. There. And, yeah, I can't afford to fire Rock, so that won't ever happen. Yeah, hey, Logan, I was just kidding, by the way, about the Drop the Vampire, the Twilight gimmick and stuff like that. I hope you understand that. That being said, guys, why don't we just dive right into it? Take a look at Raw last week. Who sent the text message?
I did.
I would be inclined to believe that, as a matter of fact, knowing you.
Yeah, I could believe Omega did it.
Let's take again the 50-50 odds that John Cena would win and just, no. That's a bad roll on my part.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. Triple H is denying it and saying, you know, it's time to fess up, be honest, yada, yada, yada. And he goes, come on, Hunter, and blah, blah, blah. I still maintain, just like I said last week, it was Stephanie. Stephanie did it.
I'm picking
Simpsons
Johnny Ace.
Simpsons did it. Simpsons did it. Sorry, wrong show for geek references.
That's definitely wrong show for geek references. Well, anyway, that kind of geek referencing, right?
It all comes down to if you can recognize that geek reference and what show it's from.
Okay. I don't know what show it's from, so.
South Park.
Yeah. Ah, you see.
Even the title of the episode was Simpsons Did It.
Ah, because I was thinking, you know, Simpsons, and I'm thinking Homer spelling smart without the A, you know.
God, right, go back to talking wrestling, Tim. you suck at this geek shit, dude.
Well, that's because I'm not a geek.
Says the Star Trek fan.
Yeah, okay, I'm a Star Trek fan. You notice how you said that, right? I'm a Star Trek fan. I like Star Trek. There's nothing wrong with
Star Trek. Just wait. Just wait till someone confuses dilithium and trilithium. He'll blow his top.
Trilithium, that's theoretical, and it doesn't work.
So we have a call. Welcome to WrestleTalk Radio. Who the hell are you and where are you from?
It would probably be me.
Oh, well, I know that voice. How you doing, Dave?
Yeah, what up, Timmy?
Hey, how's it going, Eddie? What's up tonight? How you doing?
A little bit, how are you?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. What's on your mind for this evening?
Well, I know. I definitely think it was Stephanie. You know, it's something that she wants to do because what she said to CM Punk when he went into the office, it's kind of obvious, I think.
Yeah? Well, let me throw you a curve from left field here. What if it was Pops? You know, Vince McMahon who got a hold of Triple H's phone and sent the text, and everybody's going to blame Triple H for that. What if behind the scenes we see a whole bunch of things going on that wind up sabotaging Triple H's run as COO, and it turns out that it's Vince getting even for being, you know, fired and shit?
What's not to say that it might even be Shane?
Well,
Shane's completely out of the company, so I think he's probably the only safe one that couldn't have done it.
I was going to say.
You have a list of people you could probably name off that could probably do it.
So, here's, you know, like, you've got three choices, really, when you stop and you think about it, right? You've got three choices.
Uh-huh.
It was Shane. It was... no, I'm sorry. There, you got me going, Eddie. It was Stephanie. It was Trips. Or maybe Vince McMahon. No, I've not heard that speculation at all. Jackie in the chat room is saying, yes, Vince was written off TV. Yeah, he was, but he wasn't. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense at all.
It's a Vince McMahon write-off. The guy's been blown up and came back.
Yeah, I mean, he's been killed 15 times. Don't put any stock into that.
Yeah, he's a comic book character.
Well, so is The Undertaker, though, and he's back.
So there you are, you know. Storylines in the WWE seldom make complete sense. So don't try to figure out, well, it can't be Vince because he's, you know, written off TV and stuff. So I'm just saying. So, but your money's on Stephanie more than anybody else? Yeah. And it's, well, just because of the confrontation she had with Punk?
Well, yeah, it's kind of obvious when she says, well, he'll get what's coming to him. So it's kind of like, it kind of narrows it down.
Okay. Well, Kevin Nash says on the microphone last week, no matter what happens, take the winner out. So that tells me it wasn't CM Punk specific. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I think Kevin Nash is in it for himself. I think he just wants to be back in the WWE again and not on TNA where he got fired from.
So, okay. Omega, thoughts and opinions on what Eddie said?
I don't really see it that way. I mean, I think you're a little off, Tim, because I don't know. I'm still pegging Johnny Ace as a potential as well.
You know, I never thought about that.
Because the guy's glued to Triple H's hip. He could have had access to the phone, too.
This is true. Johnny Ace, John Laurinaitis. You know the guy that comes out talking, sounding
oh,
like...
Oh, yeah. Well,
you know? Yeah, he sounds like Super Dave. You remember Super Dave?
Yeah, maybe it is Super Dave.
Yeah. So, okay.
I have two more questions, Tim.
Okay, shoot.
What's going on with Harry? Did they literally fire him?
They future endeavored Harry Smith, meaning, you know, creative couldn't come up with anything for him.
That's trademarked now.
Well, they could turn him bad just like they did Tyson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Omega's right. That's trademarked now. WWE has actually trademarked Future Endeavor, Mr. Future Endeavor, and there was a third one dealing with Future Endeavor. So what the hell is going on with that?
Yeah, I kind of like the character of Jinder Mahal.
Mm-hmm. Jinder Mahal, and you and I, Eddie, know him a little bit better than Tiger Raj.
Yeah. I like his character.
Yeah, the character is good, but apparently WWE isn't too happy with his work in the ring. They kind of think he's still a little bit too rough around the edges. Have you not noticed he hasn't been wrestling so much lately?
Yeah, Kali's been doing all his work.
So, yeah, I don't know where they're going to go with that one. However, he's still too integral to the storylines they got running on SmackDown right now, so I don't think we're going to see him being told that creative doesn't have anything for him at the moment. So.
And the last question I have, Tim.
Okay.
The Pope.
D'Angelo De Niro, brother.
I'm wondering, he looks a little bit like Elijah Burke.
Okay.
That's because he is
No, it's just
Elijah
a trick
Burke.
Of the eye. That's just, Nolan says, trick of the eye.
What were you going to say, Mace?
Don't worry.
It is Elijah.
Okay.
You are correct,
sir. Okay, there's another cover blown for you, right? So, anything else, Eddie?
No, that's it.
Okay, well, hey, man, thanks for calling in, and thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, I'll get in touch with you after about that other thing.
Yeah, we can talk about that later on, definitely, for sure. Have yourself a good evening, and enjoy the rest of the show, buddy.
All right, peace out, guys.
Peace. Yeah, guy that we call Fast Eddie, who was actually one of the guys working at one of the cameras when we were doing that Stampede Wrestling thing that I have, like, I don't know, 35 DVDs for. So, just in case, you know, you guys might have been wondering who that was. Or cared. One or the other. So, Omega, you brought up something that I wasn't even thinking about. Johnny Ace sending that text. Mm-hmm. You want to expand on that?
Well, they did seem to set that up a little bit on Monday night where, you know, Laurinaitis did invite Kevin Nash in to have a little word with him. We don't know what the word was about, but it does set him up as one of the potential whodunits.
Okay.
Now, you're right in that it is, I mean, the request on the phone was very nonspecific, you know, so, you know, as long as someone gets taken out by Nash, everything's fine.
Yeah. Just whoever wins the title, take him out, basically. That's what he's saying the text said.
Yeah. So the only problem with the Laurinaitis thing is I can't really find reason for him to want, you know, Cena or Punk taken out specifically.
Okay. Well, Johnny Ace is playing the new Pat Patterson / Jerry Briscoe role, but I don't expect him to stretch anybody. Got to go back a few years to understand what I'm referencing on that one. But what is, aside from being a stooge, what is his on-air job?
His job is to kind of represent, pretty much represent the board of directors as the big, you know, the big conglomerate backstage that wants to run everything. Uh-huh. Even though there is a top guy that handles the day-to-day stuff.
Okay, so he represents the interests of the shareholders.
The, The corporate face.
Yeah. Okay, so that's pretty much his only role on TV. And they're not referencing his actual real duties behind the scenes or anything like that in this current role. Is that not correct?
Well, they do describe him as head of talent relations, which is
okay. Bingo. You just said what I was looking for.
Okay.
Wouldn't that wind up playing any kind of part? They haven't really, you know, focused on it. I remember one mention when he got on the microphone, introduced himself, and mentioned that he replaced JR.
Right.
So what do you think about all of it? Go ahead.
He does always introduce himself as John Laurinaitis, head of talent relations for the WWE.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to know what Mace is thinking about all of this.
I'm just enjoying the fact that everybody seems to have forgotten that it could actually have been Del Rio, but, you know, let's just scratch him off the fucking card completely for some reason.
Well, that does require him having the opportunity to steal the phone completely out from everyone around Triple H and Trips himself.
But that... okay, everybody's going, oh, it's Trips' phone, it's Trips' phone. Where was the fucking mention?
Hey.
This is what I want to know. Everybody's going, oh, it came from Triple H's phone. Nash implied it was Triple H. He never said it was coming from Triple H's phone.
Mm-hmm.
The implication,
how could he have met, he might have met Del Rio then.
The implication was that he had already texted Triple H that night, and then that he got another text, he received a text after that, telling him to stick the winner.
Rock, can you do me a favor? Can you find that promo by Nash? I want to have another listen to this, because I swear people are pulling shit out of this that was never
You know what? I got it. I got it. It was Daniel Bryan.
That makes perfect sense.
He had the idea. Hey, you know, Nash, take out the winner for me. But Del Rio beat him to the punch on the Money in the Bank.
Okay. Now I just think you're reaching. I just think you're reaching now.
I just want to fuck the list around a little bit more.
Yeah, I think you're doing a good job. Okay, so you brought up another possibility, Mace. Again, it's the implication that it came from Triple H's phone that I think nobody is pointing a finger to Del Rio. But don't you think that might wind up being a little too obvious?
So? Does it have to be this big, complex, you know, who shot JFK style plot? Seriously, you give people an inch of rope, they'll take a fucking mile of it.
And maybe hang themselves with it at the end of the day, Omega.
I do commend that WWE is trying to put on something of a whodunit storyline. It is far more substantial as a story than what we have become accustomed to.
Well, I don't know if you guys remember this. Back in the 80s, it was a great big huge thing, and the big question all summer long after the cliffhanger season finale on Dynasty was who shot JR? This is almost like the WWE version of who shot JR.
Simpsons did it.
And it wasn't who shot JR. Kane did that. He set him on fire.
Yeah.
All I remember was, it was me, Austin!
I'm, seriously, after all this, if it turns out to be Triple H, I'm expecting a repeat of that promo, just substituting Punk's names for Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Can we still have JR going, aw, son of a bitch?
That would be awesome.
That would be.
That was the best part of the whole thing.
I'll tell you, it would be extremely disappointing, and then another piss off to the fans, screwing up the storyline, in my opinion, by actually having it be Triple H. It can't, you know, like, for all intents, for good story and good logic, it can't be Triple H who sent that text. It can't be.
It's too much logic, but at the same time, they do want to peg him there because it's Kevin Nash who actually did the attack. You know, there's already that connection.
Yeah. But Triple H, you know, was the leader of the clique, and then DX, who became corporate, right? So this, you know, this close friendship that these guys have shared over the years, you know, with the infamous hug at Madison Square Garden and all that other stuff, you know, it could be a case of, well, you know, you were one of us, now you're one of them. So they could play up that, and I would like to see that played up, as a matter of fact.
It would be good, but it would be taking so much of backstage knowledge and stuff like that and bring it to the forefront. Sure, they've already done that with Triple H's promo this past Monday, yeah, where he did reference that they were boys, that they were a part of the clique and all that. But that's really reaching back into an area of knowledge that only the hardcore wrestling fans will know. Well, here it is. They're always trying to appeal to the casual market.
Yeah.
So well, why suddenly want to grab stuff that only the hardcore people would know?
Well, it's not just hardcore fans. It's people who have stopped watching the product after they got a little bit too grossed out by the Katie Vick storylines and, you know, shit like that. But it might appeal to people who used to watch WWF and stopped watching, and it might get them to come, oh, hey, wait a minute. They're talking about shit that was going down when I was a fan, when I was tuned into Renee, when I had to watch both the live and the replay of Raw in Canada on Monday nights, and then catch the replay Tuesday afternoon and see both airings of SmackDown. You know.
But again, it's appealing to, like, back then, nobody knew about what happened at Madison Square Garden and all that.
Yeah.
Hell, that stuff didn't even start here until the internet started getting big.
No, they and actually
that
played
was
that up.
Out of date.
No, DX played that up back in the day. They actually aired that clip.
Oh, they've been airing that clip off and on WWE programming basically since Shawn Michaels retired the first time. So I'm just saying, And this is a bit of a reach from, you know, on my part, and I'm just thinking marketing. Maybe they're thinking about planning on throwing together, like, a, you know, another DVD compilation. This could be something that winds up ramping up towards, you know, the advertising and the plugging and the promotion for it.
You mean the Oh My God Shocking Moments DVD that's coming out?
Oh, was I a little too subtle?
Yeah, just a little subtle.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm just wondering if Rock's little mention of might be something.
Actually, yeah, he has been completely neglected ever since all this happened.
Now, who's missed the anonymous Raw GM ever since basically Triple H took over?
I don't, because as I've shown, I can play the tone anytime I like.
There you go. Go ahead.
I miss getting to make the joke every time someone's iPhone went off.
you still get to make the joke on OTL, especially when Spug and I forget to turn our phones to silent, considering we both have the same message tone.
Yeah, OTL on Wednesday nights right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at 9 o'clock Eastern. Must be real fun with you three.
We know geek references.
Wow, really? So it's a geek show, is it?
Just... yeah, a little bit of one.
Yeah, so, like, what do you guys talk, Star Wars?
Occasionally. George Lucas has ruined something else.
At least one live chicken and a rabbi.
You know, like, you talk Spider-Man musical, you talk comic books, you talk, what, the Omega's Transformer doll collection, shit like that?
They are collectible action figures, sir.
Yes, Transformer dolls. Listen to Omega defend his collectible action figures Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock Eastern, OTL, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Getting back to wrestling, let's take a look at CM Punk versus Kevin Nash. Now, I'm not talking about physicality, in case you guys missed it. It was basically head-to-head promo time, CM Punk and Kevin Nash cutting on each other. Mace, what did you think?
It was interesting. And excuse me for a second, I have to sneeze.
Hachu. And gesundheit.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
But, I don't know, like, there were reports coming out that everybody was watching it in the back. They wanted to see what these two could do, and that came back that Nash was making a lot of inside references, which he was.
Yeah.
And again, it brings back to my point of why start trying to appeal to the hardcore audience who'd know these references when WWE for the past 10 years has been saying they don't matter, they don't care. But in my personal opinion, I love the back and forth. I definitely think Punk got the one up on Nash almost every time, especially when it came to the, you want to see the text message? And Punk turned around and goes, well, you want to see the text message from my sister who says, is that Kevin Nash? I thought he was dead. I loved it.
That was pretty damn good, I have to admit it.
Yeah. I don't know. Something about that promo was off. It's like Kevin Nash just came off as really out of touch to me. I mean, especially when he's talking about, you know, scrawny little guys like you will never be the top card. Like, you know, it hasn't noticed how many pay-per-views that CM Punk has main evented.
Yeah. Well, Kevin Nash is just coming across to me as, you know, old and tired.
Oh, that's pretty much.
You know, it's the same shit that he was doing 15 years ago, and it was good 15 years ago, but 15 years ago called and said they're tired of it too.
Pretty much. I think.
Yeah,
Nash
Kevin Nash's sort of stick kind of went when the hair dye came in.
Yeah, there you go. So, I guess we could.
Got in there and knocked some brain cells out.
I guess we can, we can declare CM Punk the winner of this particular showdown.
Oh, yeah.
Is that going to lead to Kevin Nash getting back into the ring for WWE and taking on Punk?
Unfortunately. They want to keep him in something high profile while he doesn't have a title.
If it happens, can somebody assist Kevin Nash into the ring? Last time he tried to get in during a match in a hurry, he blew his quad.
Yeah.
Just don't have Booker T laying in the ring, because he always trips over him.
Yeah, that would be bad. Booker T, stay at the table.
No, Booker T, get the fuck off the table and go backstage and become a road agent or something.
Oh, but it's Kevin Nash. I mean, you know, he'll find a way to blow his quad joint to answer the phone.
We got his number?
No, I can text him.
You do that.
Jesus. All right, you know what? I think maybe we should take our first time out of the evening.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, everybody, listen to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tell all your friends we're up, we're running, we're live, we're taking your phone calls. We're going to give you the number on the other side of this quick little timeout. Don't go anywhere. Got a hell of a lot more coming your way, including the brand new Great Debate. We'll be back right after this. What do you see? The cult of personality.
The cult of personality, the cult of personality. Every Tuesday night, wrestling's biggest names stop by OWW Radio.
Hey, this is World War Animal. This is Rick, the model of Montel.
This is the king of old school, Keith Carino.
It's me. It's that B-O-double-G. This is George the Animal Steel.
Tune in as Alan Wojcik and his contributors bring you the online world of wrestling radio, Tuesday nights at 9 Eastern.
If you want some, come! Get some.
Only on Wild Talk Radio Network on wildtalkradio.com.
19, 2, 3, 2, 3, 2, 3, 2, 3, 2, 3, 2, 3.
Wednesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otuttle Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
That's fine. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint cans.
Duck.
Okay, since he is smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint cans, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase, with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, well, not our, but Shaniqua's following to members, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
Alright, hang on a second. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm gonna roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LEB Rules, Chapter 7, Subsection 15.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune into Otaku Talk Live, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Back WTR Sunday Night Rest Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tell me, Rock, does my mic sound better now? That actually sounds like me. It didn't sound like me previously?
You don't sound like you're over the phone anymore.
Oh, didn't I sound like I was talking on the phone?
It was very, very poor quality. I had an instinct to order a Big Mac.
Would you like flies with that?
No, I am not a fucking frog. No flies.
Ribbit. What the hell? Anyway, where were we?
This is a goddamn wrestling show.
I just forgot for a second where we were. No big deal. I remember now. Moving on. We're going to be talking about Matt Hardy in just a little bit. But why don't we talk a little bit about Mark Henry winning the 20-man Battle Royal to be the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship we saw last Friday night on SmackDown. Now, really, guys, is Mark Henry the right choice for the new number one contender?
Mace, you want to go first?
I didn't watch SmackDown.
Good man.
I didn't even know who was in the 20-man battle royal. Nor do I give a shit.
Mark Henry,
Mark Henry, Sin Cara, Sheamus, and about 17 people that didn't have a fucking chance.
Ah, so just like every other battle royal they do.
Hold on, it wasn't Sin Cara, it was fake Cara.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because he actually, the real Sin Cara, returned at house shows this past weekend, as a matter of fact.
They're talking about doing something to kind of build up the whole imposter angle, and I would kind of support it in this case. I mean, it would be an actual storyline for him.
Yeah, actually something to do, but the only problem is, I think we should throw this to Mace to explain what the problem would be with Sin Cara versus fake Sin Cara.
There's no way to tell which one won.
No, there's no way to tell which one's worse.
But I want Botchamania clips to last for months.
Hey, WWE, I'm just waiting for the match. Yeah. I'm just waiting for the match. Sin Cara versus fake Sin Cara. Because, you know, there's going to be at least 750,000 botch spots, which is going to be awesome.
WWE presents Sin Cara Botch Fest. 3 hours of Sin Cara fucking up. Available at WWEshop.com.
I'm just waiting for the best of Sin Cara DVD. It's going to be empty.
There you go. Yeah, I love how I brought up, we started talking about Sin Cara. That's great.
That's because nobody gives a shit about Mark Henry.
Nobody gives your ass ass? Omega, what do you think about it? Come on, seriously.
Well, Sin Cara versus fake Sin Cara, I mean, wait.
Jackass.
I called it. Didn't I call this that they were setting Mark Henry up to be the next number one contender out of lack of other people that were credible enough to push? You know, hence why he takes out Kane and The Big Show and now Sheamus.
Yeah, I think there's you and a couple other people who were actually talking about this. You know, I'll tell you the truth right now. I don't see this as a bad move for WWE and for Mark Henry's career. The guy's been around WWE for how long now? A couple of decades? He's like in his second decade. Isn't that about time they actually did something with him before he lumbers off to the nearest KFC on a full-time basis? Seriously.
I don't know. I'm sort of thinking this has come out of left field because I was interested in his feud with Sheamus. I was expecting after SummerSlam that this was going to go on for at least another couple of months. Now all of a sudden he's the number one contender for the World Heavyweight title.
Well, let me ask you, what are the chances that actually him being the number one contender is a subplot to the novel here, and the main story is the ongoing feud between him and Sheamus? Don't you see Sheamus and him going head to head, toe to toe on more than one occasion, leading up to the next pay-per-view where he actually fights for the title?
Yeah, it is possible, but then again, that also brings up that they might decide to put the number one contendership on the line, which would be like Omega's previous objection with Money in the Bank, using a contendership spot as an actual championship for something to be won and change hands.
Because
you know they'll do it. Why? Because they fucking can.
Well, yeah, true. There you go. Well, you know, And this is just me trying to think like a SmackDown booker. They actually let
you're not
Mark
drunk Henry... enough. Go get drunk first.
Oh, I'm working on it. Hang on just a quick sec here. See if you can hear it. Did you hear it? I'm chugging as fast as I can. Damn American beer. It's like making love in a canoe. They're both fucking close to water. Anyway, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see them decide to put the strap. Well, I was going to say around Mark Henry's waist, but good luck with that. It'll be on his shoulder.
Yeah, they could bring out the old Andre belt.
Yeah, they could do that. They'd have to. But, yeah, I could see them give him the strap in the next pay-per-view. You know, I just get the feeling the world title is being treated like, you know, nothing, like a prop, nothing more than a prop, not the end-all be-all that a world title should be treated as, right? So Mark Henry gets the title, and who was it that said Big Show?
That would be the voices in your head.
No, actually, that's Knucker in the chat room saying it's going to be a, he could see it being a setup for the return of Big Show to take the belt off Henry. You know, there's your main event. You want to see Big Show get revenge on Mark Henry? Well, have Big Show beat the living tar out of him and win the title, only to get beat by Kane 3 weeks later on SmackDown.
Which would make Jackie Fleiss very, very happy.
Probably. So, I don't know. You never know. That might happen, but good luck to...
And also, Hornswoggle could come out and get them with the tadpole splash and then win the title.
Well, wait a second. Hornswoggle winning a title is a bad thing because titles he wins get retired, man.
Can we have him win the Diva thing? Belt?
Yeah, let Hornswoggle win the Divas title.
No, I just want to see Hornswoggle beat like Kane in the Big Show in a three-way. Oh wait, this isn't 2005.
No, handicap match.
There you go. Yeah, if Hornswoggle wins the world heavyweight title, they'd have to drop heavyweight from it. That's for damn sure. Just like they did with Rey Mysterio when he won it. It wasn't the heavyweight title, it was just the world title.
I reckon they could drop the world from it and still wouldn't matter. They could just call it the title.
Well, wouldn't it be better if they called it It's a Small World title?
Isn't that the Cruiserweight belt?
Aww. It's a small world. Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, come on. You know, we could always do a cross-branded storyline. Hornswoggle wins the belt off Mark Henry and then takes the belt to Micro Championship Wrestling with Hulk Hogan and the Midgets.
Okay, that's just starting to give me a toothache. Let's, like, forget that one right there. Anyway, looking at this, Mark Henry as the number one contender. What does this mean for Christian now that he's no longer in the title picture?
Have some vacation time and then enjoy copyrighted words.
Kind of. Sorry, Christian, we haven't got anything for you right now, but hang around in the back. We'll think of something.
No, that is really unfair. That's a really unfair thought to the guy. You know, okay, fine. I mean, he's had this enormous feud going with Randy Orton this whole time, but you know, they were putting on stellar matches every time they went out, and you know, we kept saying it. It was still a really good match, even on their final one. That was, yeah. You know, he's half of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's got to be. I mean, I should hope that they haven't. As long as that went, and as good as those matches were, I cannot fathom that even in the WWE's depths of stupidity, that they couldn't see that they had something really, really good with Christian.
Yeah.
Like, he's still a big heel on SmackDown. They are critically low on those right now. I mean, they'll keep him around. He'll be a threat in. Yeah, in the upper mid card for a while, but little there is on SmackDown. Yeah, uh-huh. He'd make a good opponent for Daniel Bryan.
Okay. Yeah, they'd have a good match, wouldn't they?
I could see him still sticking around the main event, though. I could see him still trying to cost Randy Orton the belt, just so, you know, once the belt's off Randy, he can try and get another title shot.
See, there's where you put him against Daniel Bryan, because... If those two start feuding, it's going to be Christian going, "Hey, we put that belt, we put that money in the bank on the line before. Here, I'm going to challenge you. Give me the belt. I need another title shot." You know, he's just like, you know, to the point where he's absolutely lost his mind trying to find some other way back into the title picture. Mm-hmm. Now, you can get 2 months of solid matches out of it.
You definitely could, but you got to remember this is WWE. They're notorious for giving Christian a push, for giving him a bit of the spotlight, and then completely taking it away from him for 6+ months at a time.
And that's just crying shame. Christian deserves a little bit more respect than that, don't you think?
Oh yeah,
they have lately though. I mean, part of it is due to the fact that they don't have very many others on SmackDown right now. But at the same time, you know, they gave him the ball just a little bit and. Fucker ran with it very successfully.
Yeah. Well, I don't like the angle that they gave him to begin with. It was great matches and stuff like that, but he deserves better, really. Because he's a better in-ring performer. He's a better wrestler. He's just a better person than, you know, than, seriously, the way that he's been treated since Edge and Christian broke up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm looking at his heel turn this time around. I don't know if it's just me, but I've seen his heel turn and the way he's handled himself, you know, always complaining, trying to get his way with a title shot, and then coming up short for so many times, and then he finally gets it. Does anybody remember the whole DDP mentor thing?
I was actually
going to cry baby Christian.
Yeah, no, I was actually going somewhere else with what you're talking about. I was just going to say, well, when are we going to see him at, like, you know, on the steps of Congress or something, trying to get a bill passed?
Yes, considering that just about everybody steals from Jericho, if you talk to Jericho about it.
Especially if you talk to Chris, which I have. So, yeah. But, well, I don't know. I see them doing something to keep him hovering around the main event picture. Even if he's not directly involved in it, one way or the other, I could see a run-in or something like that to cause problems at the pay-per-view.
Maybe Christian can send Kevin Nash a text message and get him the powerbomb Mark Henry?
All it's been done. But, yeah, there's a good question I was posed by our producer. Do you keep him off TV for a month, or what do you do?
I wouldn't take him off TV.
No, I don't think I would. What about you, Omega?
I will still say it. Give him a feud with Daniel Bryan, trying to live up to what Edge does. You know, scheme and strip a title match any possible way he can. If that means, trying to buy hook or buy crook with Daniel Bryan's Money in the Bank, so be it.
Okay. Mace, I think I may have cut you off, and I apologize. Go ahead, finish your thought.
No. All good. Keep going.
Finish your thought anyway.
I want a drink.
Oh, okay. Well, then you drink, and we'll move on to the next topic. This is going to be fun. Rock, you should call up the version 2 music and just, like, play it, because this is worth it. He goes, no, you're such a party pooper. All right, fine. Matt Hardy has been released by TNA after his arrest for driving while intoxicated. Now, the DWI story, first appearing on TMZ, notes that he was arrested in Moore County after he was found beside his 2009 Corvette, which had run off the road and hit a tree. So,
was the one who went off the road and lived.
Yeah, the poor tree died, but Matt Hardy survives.
No. I know this is sort of in bad taste, but Matt Hardy gets drunk, runs into a tree and dies. We end up losing Macho Man sort of the same way, at least halfway with the whole running in the tree bit.
Mm-hmm.
We lose a great talent like Savage, yet fucking Hardy gets to live.
Yep. That's bad taste, but you're absolutely right about that. And no disrespect intended to anybody, so don't anybody go around anybody else and say,
bullshit. Somebody go tell Matt Hardy I said that shit.
Well,
tell him to fucking come and find me.
Unless I go run to Matt Hardy and tattle. You know, what the hell? Yeah, Matt, you want to call in?
So, what is that telephone number if somebody wants to call in, Tim?
Hey, you know what? Anybody can call in. Anybody listening, anybody within the sound of my voice, just pick up the phone and dial 267-297-1397. Or if you're on Skype, it's absolutely 100% free. Just Skype Sir Rockin'.
Now, who would have thought you could be suspended from your job because you refused to go to rehab, get into an accident, fired over your drunk driving incident.
Well, no, hold on. I have to interrupt here, okay? Don't say drunk. Intoxicated. Now, intoxicated is a broader definition than inebriated or drunk, okay? He could have been
on drugs. You've ruined my joke. Go to hell.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was gonna point out something that somebody said in the chat room about the whole thing. I apologize. Okay, let's forget that I ever said anything, Omega. Veil trumpet already, and it's only an hour into the show. Awesome. Okay, you know what? go for the joke. I'll pretend I never said nothing.
Who would have thought you could be you could be suspended from your job for refusing to go to rehab, fired over an intoxicated driving incident, crashing your car, and you're still not the embarrassment of the family?
That's funny.
You're a dick.
Oh, what? Did I overplay that? I'm sorry. I was just like trying to be enthusiastic because I fucked it up the first time around. I was making it up to you. But no, you know, I try to be a nice guy and it turns out I'm a dick. Great. Fine. No more Mr. Nice Guy to you ever again. Not that I was.
Is Omega fired?
Beside the point. Not yet. I'm not letting him off that easily. But, I want to just point out Tony O in the chat room saying, and I quote from Matt Hardy on a tweet, I took a breathalyzer immediately on the spot and write clean zero nothing. Think about peeps. There's more to the story than meets the eye. Matthew. Yeah. Here's what I think is more to the story than meets the eye. As soon as we see the toxicology report, Matthew, we might not discover alcohol, but who's to say we won't discover meth?
That's because it's Jeff that's on meth.
Well, have you seen his YouTube posts lately?
No, because I don't like paying the little dickweed any attention.
There you go.
Maybe he figures that if he's like his little brother, he could actually get to keep a job and become a world champion. So.
What, you mean his little brother that's currently suspended from TNA as well?
Still got a world title despite all of it.
Yeah, one that he made himself.
Good lord, that was bad.
He remade the damn thing recently as well. That's one that lights up when the lights go down and flashes to his music.
That's just art-hearted.
Oh yeah. But like Rock said, you can never believe a Matt Hardy tweet.
Yeah, no kidding. So, there it is. Nice going, Matt. What do you think you're going to do now? I don't see him wrestling anywhere anytime soon.
He'll get plenty of independent bookings.
I was just about to say, the smaller independent bookings, people are going to show up for the train wreck, not for the wrestling match, Mace.
Why not? That's how Scott Hall gets booked these days.
Well, there you go. I mean, why do people go to NASCAR? They don't go to watch cars turning left.
They do, if you ask Will.
Well, Will's a special case because Will's a special boy. Let's face it. You go to NASCAR, you watch NASCAR because you want to see the car accident.
Where else am I going to see a 20-car pile up and not be in the son of a bitch?
Yeah. Logan Cross in the chat room. Oh, by the way, that's a wrestler I told you about. He makes an interesting comment. He thinks that despite how bad Matt didn't want to ride Jeff's coattails, that's the only way he got into TNA to begin with. It was because of Jeff and not because of his abilities. Because wasn't he, like, not used immediately after Jeff was suspended? Didn't they stop you?
Suspended at the same time, I believe.
Yeah.
I want everyone to think about that. I want Matt Hardy wasn't a good enough wrestler to get used by TNA. Except for the fact that his brother was there.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, don't you think?
Horribly sad.
Yeah. So, good luck.
I'm not crying for him.
I didn't think so, but good luck in your future endeavors, Matt Hardy. Hey, guys, did you hear about UFC?
Wrong copyright lawsuit.
What?
There's another copyright lawsuit.
Yeah, whatever. I don't give a fuck. Sue me, bitch. Like Rocky said in Rocky V after punching the fake, the promoter, the boxing promoter. Sue me for what?
Get your Star Trek collection.
There you go. Spike TV. Do you think they're going to do something to try to put more focus on Impact Wrestling now that UFC is heading to Fox?
There's not much they could do to put less on there.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Spike was very aggressive, at least for Spike TV, in promoting UFC. I mean, I would see UFC commercials on like other stations besides Spike. Do you think they might finally do that with Impact Wrestling now?
Might not have a choice because it's their only real source of new television every week. Everything else is reruns.
Reruns, A Thousand Ways to Die, or The Deadliest Warrior.
Yeah, there's prime television for you.
Yeah. Well, my son likes Deadliest Warrior. He wants to see them match the Spartans against the Vikings.
Yeesh.
Oh, Tony, chat room.
As you can hear, this is like a great thing that we all want to see.
Yeah. Oi. Yeah, no, Tony in the chat room is saying he's given it 6 months before Impact Wrestling will be off TV. How many fucking years has people been saying that now?
Well, they'll be done in 6 months.
3 years later, we're still waiting.
Well, it might not be 6 months when they're off TV. I think it's...
You gotta remember where they are right now. To Spike TV, 1.0 is a glorious rating.
Well, with everything else that that happens on that network, yeah, like 1.0, 1.3, 1.25, 1.07, which is what Impact pretty much gets, and then repeat.
But with their new marketing strategy, they if they get another show that's doing more than that, how long before we see Impact off Spike? Let's see. I don't think we'll see Impact off TV because, well, let's face it, they still have international contracts to keep them going.
Yeah.
But we might see them off Spike TV.
Yeah. Well, maybe they might actually give them a couple of more bucks to play with, and Jimmy Yang might actually get a check that doesn't bounce.
Ha ha.
Oh, so TNA has the Paul Heyman rubber checkbook.
There you go, yeah. So, I tell you, Logan Cross talking about TNA and the direction they're going. Logan, you should have been tuned in to listen to us talk about TNA for the last few years. You know, we were talking about it when it was good. We were talking about when we were hoping it was good. We have gone from all of that to talking about wishing it would be good.
We're still talking about it when it's bad. We're not turning around and going, I'm boycotting this shit.
Yeah. Not like we're singling anybody out there, Mace, but yeah, good point.
What, you mean like nine-tenths of the most chat rooms out there?
Yeah, pretty much. They're boycotting this shit, and then they start bitching and ragging on every single match that happens every single fucking week, and I'm thinking, well, I thought you were boycotting.
Well, half of the boycotters will end up watching anyway, and the other half never watched to begin with.
Yeah, I would say that was a pretty good split. 50% of the people who complain about TNA don't watch TNA.
I think that's a generous split, honestly.
Okay, 65%, 70.
Everybody but the 10%ers.
Hey, look, I got the Jew to go up on a number.
I didn't know Rock was participating in this chat. I'm just waiting for the big fuck you, Tim, to show up in the production.
Well, while we're waiting for that, how about we go to break?
I think that's a damn good idea. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right on the other side of this break, we're going to talk a little bit about Harry Smith. Not the fact that he got released, that's old news, but his recent posting on Facebook concerning WWE and stuff that happened to some very priceless memorabilia. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this with that and a hell of a lot more.
Excuse me.
Oh, you prick.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always just end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Shut up.
Producer's of the show.
Shut up.
For the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why doesn't Rob Parks do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob. Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait, what?
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big, well,
It sold by itself real bad. Wow.
Alright, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it now.
Forget.
Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What'd I do?
Alright. I'm Bob here, Godfather Tree, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Aw, you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is the Masterpiece, Chris Masters, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to a very British-sounding Wrestle Talk Radio, where I believe we should talk like this and have monocles and top hats. Don't you agree, Omega?
No.
No? Well then, how about, welcome back to WrestleTalk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where if you're not listening, well, you're not listening. Does that work better?
Brilliantly said. Okay.
Thank you very much.
I'm just not good at hokey accents.
Really?
Really.
Really?
We're gonna do this every week, aren't we?
What? Hey, can't help it. Gotta have a little bit of fun here on this show. But yeah, okay, I do agree that joke's getting old.
Yeah.
Especially when Tim makes it. But it seems that, well, I'm not going to read this word for word like Tim would do and bore us all to sleep. But Harry Smith's been going through a little bit of difficulties since his WWE release. It turns out that he lent the WWE some family possessions for the Hall of Fame / fan access thing. And basically, after a lot of begging to get it back, he got part of it back, including one of the framed pictures of his father, which was smashed, according to what he said on Facebook. But that's all right. They threw in a Mae Young photo, too.
Why the hell?
And to add insult to injury, they then had the nerve to call him up 2 weeks after he was fired and basically ask, can we have the stuff back to use it for our SummerSlam Hall of Fame fan access promotion?
Oh, brilliant. They want it back so they can break some more priceless artifacts.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I don't know what to say. This is... I can understand that the WWE, being a corporation, you know, wants to show this stuff to the fans, but showing the lack of respect to the items, in particular case, the smashing of the photo of Davey Boy, that's just wrong. Like, untold levels of wrong.
It's not like they don't have a wealth of stuff that they could use anyway.
Well, they did just buy up a whole heap of Killer Kowalski's old ring gear and stuff like that. But when they borrow it from other wrestlers who at the time are under contract, then once they've let him go, they're like, no, we don't want to give it back. And when they do, it's in horrible, horrible condition. Yeah, that's low. I don't know how else to describe it. That's just low.
Jeez, it's disgusting is what it is. Yeah. Okay, someone you are actively paying has something that, you know, you can take advantage of on the cheap. I understand. It's still not your shit. They have no right to keep the stuff that they're still hanging on to, and they had even less of a right to mishandle it that badly. Now, did he actually show how damaged the photo was? Was the frame just broken, or was the picture ruined, too?
I don't know, Rock, if you're able to give us any extra information about that particular... Rock's currently playing Dig Dug. Oh, wait, no,
yeah,
he's digging.
Okay. Yeah, because smashed isn't the term I would use for a photo.
Okay. We've got access to a photo now, which I'm hoping will be reposted in the chat room. Thank you, Rock. Yep.
It looks like
it's been dropped.
Yeah, it's either dropped or something was dropped on it, because you can see where it spider webs out.
Yeah, but still, you'd think that they'd take better precautions as to how they would handle such an item. Because it's not like they don't know that glass is a fragile thing.
I know. Rey Mysterio's knee is made of the stuff.
So true. And what's keeping them in place? Packing foam. But not only has this pissed off Harry, it's also pissed off Dana Hartsmith. So, it's getting to the point where could it be possible that the Hart family might withdraw any little item that they still own that they might have loaned to the WWE?
It's a possibility right now. I mean, if they're going to mishandle stuff like this, and if they're going to keep things without permission, then that's going to put quite a strain on any agreement they have for the Hart family's merchandise.
Yeah, like one of Dana's complaints was they can't trust the WWE now to handle any of the Hart family memorabilia unless there's a member of the Hart family traveling with it. And if I remember correctly, Harry was the last, well, main member of the Hart family. Like, I know Natalia's there, and I think Neidhart's like a cousin or something. I'm sure Tim would be able to correct me, seeing as he, like, brown noses the Hart family every chance he gets. But, alright, it's, like, Dana makes a comment. These belongings aren't just of some random old friends, they're lost family members. With Harry's release, I doubt I would be flying to Connecticut to see my Hall of Fame memorabilia, and I would probably end up paying admission too.
Right.
That sounds exactly like what WWE would do. You know, you want to see your own stuff here, pay $50 admission.
Well, you do know that they want to do something with the memorabilia they have. They want to open a physical Hall of Fame. You know, they're still talking about trying to get one in Orlando where the tourism is nice and busy.
What are they going to do, put it right next door to the studio where TNA tapes their shows?
Yes, they are, just to be dicks about it. You know,
see,
Vince would do that.
Thing, get more people in the door than your pissy little wrestling show.
You know Vince would do it.
Oh, yeah. The first thing you'd see when you walk into the WWE Hall of Fame is the cast iron representation of Vince McMahon's grapefruits.
But you know Vince would do it if only because, one, yeah, it would fuck over TNA. You know they'd hold special events on TNA nights. But just the fact that there is a wrestling promotion there that is on television who has former WWE superstars in it, they will already have traffic going through there that would be interested in going to a Hall of Fame.
Yeah. But now, do you think there would be... Well, now that all this stuff's happened with the Hart family, if such a Hall of Fame is built, no Hart family wing?
You'd have a Hart family wing if only because of Brett, but you would not have an expansive one.
So, you'd have the Brett Hart Memorial Screwjob Bench?
Here, now, if you climb this staircase, which just happens to be spiral in nature, like a screw, you will get to our Bret Hart segment.
and when you leave, just remember, Bret screwed Bret.
Which we have demonstrated with these wax models.
Then instead have Bret Hart tapping out to a wax figure of Shawn Michaels putting on the sharpshooter. In the background? In the background, instead of Vince McMahon pointing to the referee to ring the bell, it's Vince McMahon dressed up like Jesus with the glow effects behind him.
Shawn with a giant grin on his face, Bret looking like his neck just snapped.
With devil horns. And a Hitler mustache.
And when he's got them pulled up, you can actually see Brett's WCW underwear poking through.
Now, that just sounds like something you'd see on Robot Chicken.
you guys just aren't right. I go to deal with a very important, very serious issue, and you're talking about wax figures and demonstrating how Brett screwed Brett. Thanks for the visual.
Anytime.
Fuckers. Jesus Christ.
But the real question, Omega, even after all this stuff has happened with the Hart family memorabilia, aren't they lucky they got a picture of Mae Young?
Oh, sure.
Well, as long as she's not posing with the hand.
Knowing them, it probably would be.
Yeah, quite possibly.
So, Tim,
what a display case of all the body parts we have pulled out of the nethers of our WWE superstars in the past.
Oy.
And get your picture taken with Katie Vick.
Okay, what
completely clean mask?
What mean rotten son of a bitch question are you going to ask me now?
Well, I was thinking, considering how close you are to the Hart family and all.
Yeah.
What do you think of this entire situation?
Well, I think somebody at WWE headquarters effed up big time. That picture of Davey, that's not a photo. That's a one-of-a-kind sketch that is very, very valuable. And I haven't seen the picture itself since this incident, but I am really, really hoping that no damage.
Production chat, Tim, there's a link.
No, I saw that. I'm talking about the picture itself, not the broken glass and shit like that. I mean, I saw the picture of the busted frame and stuff. I'm saying, I'm hoping that the broken broken glass didn't scratch up the sketch, the picture. Like I said, that's one of a kind. That was done by Diana Hart. And it's very valuable indeed. So, you know, as far as this goes, yeah, I'm very hesitant if I'm anybody with a name in professional wrestling. Hey, this is WWE. You want to send me some shit? Yeah, fuck you. Click. Of course, other people might be a little more politic than I am. But it'll be, you know, it'll boil down to, yeah, I don't fucking think so. Somebody pointing out, like, the Guerreros and other families, like the Hennig family and stuff like that. And yeah, I don't think that I would want to hand over anything for display purposes, for fan access or anything like that, if there's a chance I'm going to get it back all screwed up.
Well, this isn't just going to go toward the Hart family, though. I mean, now you've demonstrated, you know, WWE has now demonstrated just how badly they will mistreat your family heirlooms, your, you know, priceless items. And this is going to screw up a lot of their collection that they've borrowed off of other WWE superstars.
Well, you know, the sad thing is there's only a few people in the chat room right now who will agree with me because they saw it firsthand that the you know Stampede Wrestling and yeah here goes Tim again the Stampede Wrestling fucking that goddamn fucking heart lover yeah shut up anyway
Slug's not here you don't need to make that complaint
well he might listen to the archive anyway Stampede Wrestling has done pretty much almost everything WWE did decades before WWE did it. Stampede Wrestling was syndicated all over the world. As early as the late 50s, first off, they were doing storylines that WWE, WWF did long, long before WWF did them. You know, they say that there ain't nothing new under the sun and everything's got to come from someplace. Well, a hell of a lot of what WWE has given the modern day audience, Stampede Wrestling was giving that to outside of the United States to other countries around the world ages ago. And I really don't think that should be trivialized. I really, honestly, honest to God, any wrestling promotion that came before WWE that has made a great, huge contribution should be recognized. I'm not going to just single out Stampede Wrestling because God knows they're not the only ones on the planet in the old territory days who actually did things. And yeah, Jackie, I did just say goddamn fucking. Listen, girl, you haven't heard me very often, I suppose, but I talk like that on a regular goddamn fucking basis. Goddamn fucking.
It's true. It's damn true.
It's fucking true. Oh, it's true. It's fucking true. Anyway. But, of course, you know, when you monopolize the market, you're able to rewrite history, and it's a sad and tragic thing that they choose this dictatorial bunch of bullshit rather than recognize the accomplishments of, like, the NWA, the AWA, Stampede Wrestling. I mean, I could go on. I could list every goddamn territory on the planet that was around before WWF took over.
I'm sorry. How far off topic have we gone here?
I don't know. I just started getting all bitchy about WWE being disrespectful towards stuff that just happened to be, you know, the Hart families, and it kind of sort of snowballed from there.
And you talk about my tangents. God! moving on, we should.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, my initials are DTR. The T stands for tangential.
Next topic.
So you guys talked about Harry Smith. Did you bring up boxers wanting to fight at WrestleMania?
No.
Okay, David Tua and Monty Two Guns Barrett when they want to face off in the ring at WrestleMania 28. I don't know. a boxing match in the middle of a wrestling pay-per-view? Is boxing this broke that they got to do something like this just to get interest in it?
Like, yeah.
You know?
Of course, it's natural to combine two different sports with scripted endings.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Corruption in boxing. But you know what? UFC's here. People are still watching professional wrestling. Boxing, yeah, you know, if you're not fighting in the small clubs or doing amateur, it's just not worth it anymore. I mean, there are no more Sugar Ray Leonards, no more Muhammad Ali's. I don't think this world will ever see another character like, you know, like those guys.
Thank God there's not another Mike Tyson.
Oh, yes, he of the lightning fast fist and also glass jaw. You know, the stuff that Rey Mysterio's knee is made out of, Omega.
Gee, I think I've heard that joke somewhere else before.
Yeah, just because I wasn't able to be on the show doesn't mean I wasn't listening, you fuckers. But you think I don't know when you guys
are fired?
Smart asses. Seriously, is good idea or bad idea?
Terrible idea. We're there to see a wrestling match. We care about the wrestlers who are in the ring, in the stuff that we follow. These are going to be two boxers walking in that no one knows who the hell they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, boxing is such a dead and obsolete sport at this point. No one follows it. No one watching wrestling is going to know who the hell they are or want to see the wrestling matches interrupted. So, you know, we could have another brawl for all.
Well, how hostile will the place be towards the boxers if they actually do this? Really, seriously.
Lots and lots of booing, throwing of various drinking items, and quite possibly the worst thing that you could ever do at a wrestling show, which I'm surprised a lot more people don't do during WWE shows, is stand up and turn your back on the performance.
Which is like massively, majorly insulting, and it's done on the indie scene. But
yep.
People who go to WWE events and stuff like that, they just don't seem to get it. They don't, you know, they don't know that, you would think.
Very true, but I like how everybody's like, haven't we already seen a boxing match between Butterbean and Bach Gunn, otherwise known as a Roll for All? I'm so glad they put all that that money and promotion behind Big Show versus Floyd Money Mayweather at WrestleMania 24.
That was my next reference, because, oh, good lord, that had no place or business on that card.
Yeah. Well, no, I just see professional boxing as a soon-to-be extinct breed, doing everything it can to take in that last final gasp.
True, and we got Jersey Girl in the chat room asking, wouldn't this be the WrestleMania bathroom break match? Yeah, but that'd be taking away from the Divas piss break.
Well, yeah. Do you expect me to go to the bathroom twice during WrestleMania?
Well, you know, they are really promoting 7-Eleven and the Slurpees, you know. You might have to go twice.
There is no CM Punk Slurpee. The contract negotiations failed.
Yeah, that fucked up. Yeah, where are exactly. The ice cream bars, damn it?
Where's the CM Punk ice cream bars? Where's the CM Punk Slurpee cup? All he's got out of this whole thing is a new fucking t-shirt, and that's it.
Yeah, so...
yeah, it sells out on a weekly basis.
Yeah, that whole storyline is a complete work. How can you tell? It's because all of his contract demands were not met. But he's still fucking there.
In a way that actually kind of works because it keeps him from being overexposed.
Oh, come on, you know you want to see CM Punk in the Marine 3.
Oh, sure, yeah, the tattooed and lip-pierced Marine.
Hey, it would make money. Wait a second.
Tattooed, lip-pierced Marine.
Who's to say Punk wouldn't play the successful villain that beats the protagonist?
I'd actually go and see that movie if it was John Cena as the hero and CM Punk as the villain and CM. Can we get a James Bond parody where Cena's playing the Bond character and we have CM Punk as the diabolical villain? I just want to see CM Punk do the chair swivel while he's stroking the cat going, "Welcome to my lair, Mr. Cena."
I just want to hear CM Punk and Cena, like, here's your James Bond moment. I just want to hear Cena say to CM Punk, "You expect me to talk?" And hear Punk say, "No, Mr. Cena, I expect you to die."
Yes.
Just imagine the roof blowing off whatever arena they're in when that goes down.
And it would be the only movie ever where that actually works and the hero dies. Because CM Punk wouldn't set up this elaborate death trap. He'd have him tied to a chair, put a gun to his head, pull the trigger, game over.
Well, why don't we just move on and talk about the WWE anti-bullying case. Have you guys heard the latest? Lisa Wright actually apologizing for her anti-WWE anti-bullying rant?
I heard that there was a rant about the anti-bullying stuff being shown while they had, or just after they had King ripping the shit out of Vicky Guerrero and her weight.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize that the girl made an apology for writing that rant.
Yeah, it's really interesting that the rant is highly publicized. Everybody hears about it, but nobody hears about the apology.
Of course.
I'm just surprised that it's happened. Because she was justified in everything she said.
Well, here's the touchy subject right here. they're making fat jokes and everything like crazy. Everybody's making fat jokes. You guys make fat jokes. I've done it once or twice. Is it a case of, like, obese people are the only ones left we can safely target because you can't tell racist jokes?
No. Well, it's okay to joke about fat people because it's the only group that you can join.
Oh, there you go.
If you're tired of getting fat jokes, hop on a bike.
Well, here's the thing, you know, how's this for hypocrisy? I know, I used to know of a fat person. I used to know this person fairly well. This fat person would tell black jokes all the time.
Yay.
But they would get offended if anybody said anything about their weight.
Yeah.
Well, here's a tip. Drink a diet soda.
But they drink diet soda so they can eat regular cake.
Well, actually, yeah, that's part of the problem. Drinking diet soft drink, anything with artificial sweetener screws up your metabolism and actually makes you retain weight. If you're trying to lose weight, don't drink artificially sweetened drinks. That's the dumbest fucking thing you can do. Also, eat some ice cream. Your body actually burns calories digesting it.
These but, tip brought to you by Tim Stein.
There you go. Here's the thing, okay? Our buddy, WTR's Oreo, you know, Mike, he can't do anything about the fact that he's African-American, you know, the type of person we call black. He's born that way, okay? Some people can be born fat. But you know what? Unlike Mike, a lot of fat people who bitch, whine, cry, and complain about being picked on because of fat can actually do something about it. Problem is, too lazy. Now, I'm not singling every single one of them out. And yeah, this is me getting in big trouble with a lot of people, okay? If you can do something about it and it's not a medical condition and you're tired of the jokes, hit the treadmill. And when you're charged for two seats on an airplane because you take them up, don't bitch and complain. It's your own goddamn fault 7 times out of 10.
Yeah, and we're very starting to skew ourselves off topic.
Well, there you go. That was my anti-bullying message, is what that was.
Basically, this is the one thing that has really gotten under my skin about this whole anti-bullying, be a star, all that shit. They turn around and they try to preach this message of no bullying, no this, no that. Yet we still get, you know, stories coming out of the WWE bullying people. You know, so here it is, they've got this big loud message, but they're not even following it.
Yeah.
So how are we supposed to believe what they say in those commercials if they're not willing to abide by their own example?
Well, now, when you say that they're guilty of bullying people, give me an example of what they do that's bullying.
Straight up, the whole Vicky Guerrero thing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That was a case of bullying. Anybody who looks at Vicky Guerrero now can see that she has lost a lot of weight.
You know what?
And she's actually looking good.
I was about to say, honestly, in all honesty, she doesn't look bad at all for her age.
No, yeah, she's done real well. But yet you've still got the king ragging on her weight every time she comes anywhere near the announce table.
But
that is bullying.
At the same time, that's show business. Now, there's a difference if he really means it for real or he's doing it for a pop, because let's face it, doesn't matter how politically correct anybody is, they're going to laugh at least on the inside at all those, you know, racist jokes.
Okay. Can I rebut?
Yeah, please reboot.
6 months worth of the Bella Twins, who are featured in the anti-bullying commercials. Every time they're in a storyline, they're making fun of weight or dress or how over made up a diva is, even when they're guilty of it themselves.
Yeah.
And it's just mean spirited. There is no humor to be gained.
No.
It's unnecessary.
See, there's the problem right there. You know, they're in the anti-bullying messages, but they appear on TV as bullies. Well, that's the character, okay? You can't complain about RoboCop killing people indiscriminately who happen to be bad guys.
Okay. And then, okay. You know, then every WWE show needs to say, needs to end with credits to say, and Triple H, played by Paul Levesque, you know.
That's not exactly the most insane thing.
You need to come out, like, if professional wrestling is still going to hold up to the tradition of they are the characters, you know, these are, you know, air quotes, real people in real stories and real feuds. You can't portray that kind of thing because you're portraying that as real now.
Well,
and
yeah,
we know it's fake, but they don't portray it that way.
Yeah, but they don't hold on to the character 24/7 like they used to back in the, up until the late mid 80s.
But they also, the anti-bullying campaign is targeting the one audience that believes this is real. Kids.
Well,
they don't know the difference.
Well, okay, what are they doing about telling, you know, about worried about kids, you know, with their backyard wrestling and throwing people in chocos and stuff like that? What do? They do little PSAs. You know, we're trained to do this shit. Don't fucking do it. Again, I paraphrase, but you get the idea. With their anti-bullying message, maybe all they need to do is say, these are what we portray on TV. You are supposed to not like who we are. Don't do this in real life.
If the bullies came up, if the bullies came up on the negative side every time, sure. You could have someone coming out who has a normal feud with somebody, a normal reason for getting into some kind of conflict, and that's fine. But when you've got the Bellas being bullies for 6 months, and one of them just happens to get a championship for it, that's a bad portrayal. You know,
well,
they're not getting their comeuppance for being a bully. They get championships and accolades.
Well, yeah, let's not show anybody what really happens in real life. Hell, why don't we give every kid who participates in school track and field events a medal just for being there? Wait a minute.
It promotes
doing that with the kids promotes mediocrity. You're going to get a medal, so why the fuck should you try? Okay, it's a type of communism, plain and simple. The fact of the matter is, you know, we see these movies, these old westerns, these old science fiction things, and we figure because of what we see, the good guy always wins. I got news for you. In real life, the good guy doesn't always win.
Again, wrestling is not real life, Tim.
I know, but
this is the thing. You can compare, the closest thing you can compare this to would be going back to, like, some of your older TV shows, like Good Times, friggin' The Cosby Show and stuff like that. They'd have episodes dedicated to bullying and then they'd have the message afterwards.
Uh-huh.
The thing is, once the camera shuts off, that's where the characters end. Wrestling is a weekly TV show that portrays these characters as the actual people. This is where people start to confuse the fantasy with the reality and why we have such things as the Don't Try This at Home message.
Well,
but when when the WWE goes out there and says, don't be a bully, don't do this, don't do that, then they have characters like the Bella Twins, like the current storyline with Beth and Natty, going against their own message. It shows how bullshit that message is to begin with. It shows that they did this to satisfy the parental groups, to satisfy groups like GLAAD. So there's none of that, you know, they don't have those groups on their back every single week. Why put the message out there if you can't put the example forward for people to believe in the message?
Well, it's kind of like watching any other TV show. You are presented with a character. They do everything they can to make you believe that character is real. even though, you know, it's just a TV show.
Yeah, but
this has not happened with wrestling. Again, there's my point. This has not been the case with wrestling since the death of kayfabe.
That's the thing. There still is kayfabe on camera. Those of us who are the 10%, those hardcore fans, understand when the cameras go off, they are real people. They are not the characters.
Yeah.
The people and the kids at these TV shows believe that these characters are real. They believe what they see in the ring is real, and that's what they are copying.
Which just does nothing but cause a real conundrum. How can you put on a wrestling show if there's not good guys versus bad guys? I mean, bad guys generally.
Tim. No, you don't. Yeah, sometimes, but you look at the way some of this is done. You wouldn't compare it to bullying that you could do on a playground. In a playground, you couldn't shove someone off of a stage or dump them through a spotlight. You could tease them. You could make fun of them over trivial things, and that's what gets portrayed a lot on the WWE, and it's unnecessary.
Mm.
That's bullying.
Well,
and it's bullying that can be imitated easily.
They can go too far with some stuff, but so does, other things. And you're talking about, you want to talk kayfabe. Well, when you watch Friends, there's Ross and Rachel. They're not really brother and sister, but the little kids watching are going to believe it. My niece, here's a perfect example.
But they come off. They take
niece these, was, well, but let me finish. My example, when my niece was a little kid, she was absolutely positive that you listen to the radio station and that band is actually at the station playing the song live. I had to try to explain to her, no, it's a thing that they put on there and it plays around, and she's like, she would not believe me. That's a perfect example that supports your argument just as well as mine.
At the same time, every other show on Friends, they take that off. They appear in the media elsewhere without that disguise on. There are credits at the end going, these are not real people. These are the people who played these pretend people. WWE doesn't have that. When Sheamus goes on Conan O'Brien, he's Sheamus. He's not Stephen Fairley.
Yeah, well, now, this goes back to my point, what I was saying. With these anti-bullying PSAs that they got, that's the perfect opportunity for them to say, these are characters we portray. Don't do what we're doing.
That's the entire problem with the anti-bullying message, is that they don't drop the veil to deliver the message.
And I'm saying, what's the harm with just adding that one little bit with their anti-bullying message?
Don't
do this.
Yeah, for that, they need to show that it is important enough to drop the veil. And more importantly, in the commercials that are portrayed as nothing but petty bullies, they need to be removed from the commercial, or you need to do something differently with them. They can't be saying one thing during a commercial break and then come right back from commercial doing it.
Uh-huh. You see, basically, this whole long argument boils down to us finally agreeing on, in principle, essentially, on one thing that they could do to improve this.
Pretty much.
And it wouldn't be a bad idea. I wouldn't have problems with it. You see, when I'm watching WWE with my little kid, and he's like, oh, this, that, and he sees all this bullying and stuff like that going on, we talk about it. There's a difference. There's something that a lot of parents neglect to do with their kids nowadays.
Yeah, I was about to say, that would put you down as like a 10, and I hate to say this yet again, a 10%er.
Yeah.
There's not that many parents who do such things as discipline their children or even talk to children about issues. And that's why we have the younger generations we have today.
Yeah, well, I'll
but
tell
that's
you.
A different kettle of fish, and that should really be saved for CB Radio, midnight-ish, Saturday nights, right here on worldtalkradio.com. At this point,
before you do it, God damn it, you're making me lose my train of thought, because it was an important point to make. It's about bullying. It's not a new phenomenon that's happened in the last 10 or 15 years. It's been going on since the beginning of time. It was going on when I was a young guy, and let's face it, I'm an old guy now. And when I was a young guy, it was like decades ago. It's focused on a lot more now, which is a good thing. It's a very good thing. However, it was taken care of better back then than it is now.
Basically, in the end, all we take from this is that WWE, It's good that they're getting the message out there. They need to refine how they're displaying the message.
There you go.
Now, that being said, you know, I think maybe we should take a look at the brand new great debate that's kicking off.
I'd say we've got 10 minutes left. I reckon we do it.
Let's. What are we doing?
Follow up. Kamalo, come on.
Okay.
No, we're going to say no.
Basically, the long-ass talk has killed the roundtable. We don't have Spug here.
So basically,
so I don't think we should really be going into the great debate. So at this point, hold on.
Let's
fuck it. I'm going. Bye.
Let's explain to people what the great debate is. Then we'll, all right. You know, let's explain the great debate. What we'll talk about next week. Can we do that?
Okay. No. Our great debate. This one is going to be long and involved. Now, I don't mean it's going to take a long time for a show. It's a very, very detailed, involved, great debate. We are going to be talking about the greatest feuds of all time. We'll start it off next Sunday night. We're going to kick off with Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Kane, Undertaker. Those are your two feuds right there. And then Mick Foley and The Rock, and Sabu and Taz. Okay? So the Sabu-Taz feud, the Mick Foley-Rock feud, Kane Undertaker feud, Triple H Shawn Michaels feud. We're going to start off with those four and talk about why we think those are the greatest feuds of all time. And this is really, really, really audience intensive. You guys will go to the Wild Talk Radio Facebook page, and we want to get we'll post it. We'll give you a chance to get involved in this too. Because this is going to be huge, and I can see this just being a real ball breaker.
To give you an idea of how long it is, how many feuds has been put into this total rock?
64 feuds.
Yep.
Just to give you an idea, 64 feuds. This has got to be at least four times bigger than any great debate we've done before.
The biggest great debate in WrestleTalk Radio history.
Ever. That being said, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some WrestleTalk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some WrestleTalk Radio quick hits.
Let's see if I can keep this going without trying to cough. Anyway, we'll start with Tim.
Good luck.
Yeah, we'll start with Tim. The best moment in wrestling that you have seen live is?
Could you repeat the question, Johnny?
The best moment in wrestling that you have seen live is?
Hey, don't cough. The best moment that I've seen live?
Yes.
I was actually there for.
That you were actually there for.
God damn.
Because you know how everyone talks about they've seen this moment. What's the moment that you've seen live? That you
when the caveman killed the dinosaur.
I hate you all.
I was going to be nice and just say the first clothesline, but okay.
Assholes. What a bunch of assholes, all of you. Oh, man.
Just say something with a heart member and be done with it.
Doesn't it suck when you have to be specific?
Okay, yeah, thanks. Okay, fine. The night Ravenous Randy Myers won the Stampede Heavyweight Championship for the first time. That was absolutely the best moment I saw live. Everybody got pizza for free.
Pizza night.
Everybody got free pizza. He promised like a year earlier, a year and a half before he won the title, that he was going to buy everybody pizza. He won the title. Fuck, he bought people. The entire audience got pizza.
Sad thing is, I knew that was the story you were going to bring up. Anyway, moving on. Omega, would you be interested in seeing Goldberg versus Batista?
Hell no.
No interest whatsoever?
Not in the fucking slightest.
Can you phrase your answer in the form of a question, please? Are you fucking kidding?
Can I possibly give a shit less? No. unless it's a very specific stipulation match, like banging head into a stone wall match.
Oh, come on, Omega. You know you want to see Goldberg versus Batista in a pillow fight.
Oh, God. Spear!
He's going to hit him with the jackhammer. Now I've corrupted everybody's brain.
Mace, what's your favorite submission hold?
Favorite submission
hold?
I'll
be the jackhammer now.
I like the good old-fashioned sleeper hold.
Old-fashioned
nice,
sleeper?
Nice, simple, effective, easy to lock on. Doesn't require a big drama about it. Plus, it just comes out of nowhere, and it can win matches if you're Rowdy Roddy Piper.
This is very, very true.
Dolph Ziggler, too.
And yeah, we do forget Dolph Ziggler does use the sleeper hold.
Who's Dolph
honestly,
Ziggler?
Yeah, how would you remember?
It was reported that Curt Hawkins has... This one's for Tim, by the way. Curt Hawkins has decided that he will... won't trim his beard until he gets a match on Raw. So, Tim, what is something you would refuse to do to get exactly what you want?
What would I refuse to do to get what I want?
Yes.
That's just a different question for me, because usually I have to tell you what I would promise to do if I was allowed to do something.
Right, it's a different question. What would you do?
I ain't doing that until I get a match.
Would you stop showering or stop eating? What would you do? Go on a hunger strike? What would you do?
Oh, hell. Just for Jersey Girl, I'd refuse to put out. I'd refuse All to put right. out till I got my way.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, you have to have an access to actually put out in order for that to have substance.
And Tim refused to do the show at one point. That's why Nick hosted the show before.
Who?
Exactly. Let's go to Mace.
Oh, God. I'm fucked, aren't I?
No, you're not. Mace, if you lost a bet where you had to get a wrestler's face tattooed on your back, whose face would you get and why?
If I made a bet that I would get a wrestler's face tattooed on my back... See, you sort of screwed up the question, because in a bet it would have to be a character I didn't like, but you've said a character I liked.
No, I never said who you liked. I said, whose face would you get? Alright, I'll change it up. You had to get either Mae Young's face or Lita's face on your back.
Okay, I missed the first part. I heard Lita's face, and that scared the shit out of me. What was the other one?
Either Mae Young or Lita. Their face tattooed on your back. Which one would you choose and why?
If I were you, I'd choose Lita, because after 30 years, she'd wind up looking like Mae Young anyway.
I was actually going to go with Mae Young, but because Lita would at least be less dirty. But anyway, yeah. Omega, you're screwed.
No, he's not screwed at all.
Yeah, especially if he runs into Lita.
Anyone who runs into Lita screwed.
Except for you. I think she's heard the fucking jokes.
I hope so.
Yeah. Next week on Wrestle Talk Radio, Lita will be our special guest.
And I will resign.
You'll resign?
I didn't know you could get an ice cream bell.
There you go.
Anyway, Omega, which would you rather carry around, Moppy or Pepe?
See, which one got thrown into the wood chipper?
Moppy.
Be hard to carry that one around.
Okay, if it was still existing.
It's gotta be Moppy. Because, Pepe, okay, that's That's okay, that's kind of childish, and I come off like a big enough man-child as it is.
But when you're carrying a mop and some big-breasted woman walk by, you can pretend you're a janitor.
That's just... Oh, the... Moppy was the brink of insanity. I thought that was hysterical.
Moppy! Of all the things you can remember Perry Saturn for, the one that sticks in my head is him looking for Moppy and calling for it. Moppy!
So the old phrase, it's not the gimmick that gets the wrestler over.
This is where
you know what? I just hope that when this WWE Hall of Fame gets built, I want to see a display case for Moppy and Pepe.
We have a little shelf for sidekicks on sticks.
Sure, why not?
This was a story told on the U shoot with Perry Saturn. He would use the mop in sexual activity, and he would put a condom on the other end of it.
Oh, uh-huh.
See, now you say that after Omega's made his choice.
Okay, in that one, I am not the one fucked. Okay.
Not necessarily. Don't act like Rock and pick up a dime if Saturn is behind you.
Anyway, this would be the part where you wrap things up, Tim.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's another edition of Rush Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in yet once again. Next Sunday night, it's going to be a birthday party show. Make sure that y'all show up so we could all wish Jersey Girl a happy birthday next Sunday night. This Tuesday night, WWE Radio with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Woodchipper.
Again, getting jokes. This Tuesday night, former Nexus member Michael Tarver will be live on OWW Radio.
Yeah, and of course, Wednesday night, you guys got OTL. We plugged that earlier, 9 o'clock Eastern.
If you're expecting us to say something about what's going on, we haven't got a fucking clue.
Tune in Wednesday night to find out it's a secret. And, of course, you know, Saturday night's midnight or as close as they can get it. Now that's Eastern time for all you Westerners. CB Radio.
The weird, the wacky, the unusual. Name that tune and all that crazy other fun stuff we like to do. And, you know, you never know what happens. CB Radio, midnight-ish.
The only webcast you can tune in to listen to and have the host lose his voice.
Exactly. God, it sucks. It sucks to talk so... much.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, next Sunday night, of course, another edition of Rust Talk Radio, 10 o'clock Eastern Time. And we'll be kicking off the great debate. Once again, Triple H, Shawn Michaels feud, the Kane Undertaker feud, those two are going head-to-head.
Yes.
And so are the Mick Foley Rock feud versus the Sabu Taz feud. So,
and where can they leave their opinion at, Tim?
On the Wild Talk Radio Facebook page, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Network,
Wild Talk Radio Network.
Or tweet us at twitter.com/wildtalkradio.
Yeah. That being said, thanks again to all the new people. Like we had Logan Cross show up, Calvin McLaren. We had a bunch of other people. I want to give a special shout out to Michael Patterson. He's up. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning for him. And he stayed up all night just to catch us live. He's a loyal listener. So shout out to you, Michael. Thanks for tuning in. Everybody, have yourselves a great week. Catch you again. See ya. Bye.